Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. As you can see, things look a little bit different today. We have some more people with us, but today, pay attention as we are going to be covering part number three of Attitudes and Actions series, talking about hypocrisy. It could be a heavy topic. Antonio here. I'm with Pastor Dan. Pastor Brian is joining us, and we are very excited about this topic.
I just want to know, Pastor Brian, how do you feel about being invited to be the special guest when we're talking about hypocrisy?
Yeah, as long as there's not like...
Are you wondering if there's like some ulterior motive or something like that? Yeah. You know, like, what's going on?
I came ready just in case Pastor Antonio was going to try to attack me.
He's on the defense already. Yeah,
you're already getting me in trouble. Well, it's a beautiful time of the year. I was sharing with Pastor Brian, who's a sports guy. It is just like prime sports time. We are, as of this recording, we are a couple days away from game one of the World Series. We are going to be kicking off MLS soccer playoffs.
Yeah.
We're dead in the middle of the NFL season. High school football is
going. Yeah,
to
two more games.
Friday Night Lights is going on. Hockey's starting back up.
Yeah.
WNBA just had their finals. NBA is starting, so it's a fun time.
Do people follow the WNBA? Is that bad to say? Are we going to get canceled on one of the platforms?
It's actually been an important question. I mean, it's definitely gathered some more traction this season.
No, it's coming up. I've noticed it a lot more, and I'm just like, oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, it's been 20-plus years for them. Yeah.
So wow. That's crazy.
It's, you know, good for women's sports. So
yeah. No, it's awesome. I am proud of all of these teams.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in the news right now about teams that are not going to play other teams that have men on the teams pretending to be women.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I think women's sports is important. I think things like the WNBA is important for these ladies to be able to express themselves and show their athleticism and all that kind of stuff. So, you know.
No, it's great. They're great athletes. And so getting some of the accolades that over a long time have deserved.
Yeah.
So, wonderful like stuff. I said, game one, World Series.
Well, I mean, what's the shirt, man? Yeah, what's going on here?
So I have my Fernando Mania shirt.
I mean, like, I'm going to a clergy luncheon today, so I'm wearing, like, a little bit more dressed.
I brought a different shirt, but I wanted to wear...
I looked at you. I'm like, I should have just brought a change of clothes or something. You know, Brian's over here in a Hawaiian shirt. I feel totally out of place.
This is Fernando Valenzuela. He just passed away a couple days ago. He's a Dodgers legend.
Yeah.
And Dodgers are in the World Series, so...
So when I was a kid, I used to love the Dodgers. Yeah. I loved Fernando Valenzuela. I loved Daryl Strawberry, Nolan Ryan when he was around, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And we went to the Rangers and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, that was my team.
Yeah, no, they were great. And his rookie year, they won the World Series. And
I was 1 year old.
Yeah, I wasn't even born yet. Fernando Mania started, but he was iconic in a lot of ways, and for all of baseball, but especially for me being a Mexican American.
Yeah.
He was like, it was a big deal.
So Dodger Stadium, you were saying, we were talking beforehand, was in an area.
So Chavez Ravine is where Dodger Stadium is at. And that area, before the stadium was there, it was neighborhoods that were predominantly Latin American, Mexican American neighborhoods. And so when the Dodgers wanted to build their thing, they kind of kicked out the people. It was controversial. There's been documentaries about it, booted them out in a not cool way and really hindered relations between the Dodgers. Obviously, like, we don't like the Dodgers because you kicked us out of to build your stadium. And then they bring, there was a scout who's down in Mexico, sees Fernando Valenzuela play. He was like 18 years old, 19 years old. And they're like, we got to get this guy. Well, they bring him on and he's a new sensation. All of a sudden, you know, now today, I think 50% of the Dodgers fan base.
Is that it?
Is Latino.
I mean, like our whole church.
Right, yeah.
With the exception of a few.
There's some angel fans. Like, woo! And the Dodgers is a roar. Right?
Yeah. No, and they'll meet me at the back door if I say something about the angels. I mean, they're like, Pastor, we're not going to kill you because you're our pastor, but you just need to watch yourself.
Well, so we went to the marriage ministry. We went to an angels game. And people came up like, we would have gone if it was a Dodgers game. It was like, you have triple the price.
That's hilarious.
You got to pay to play.
Yeah.
Dodgers, it's a show, man.
For sure.
So Dodgers in six. If it's I was telling Stephanie, Dodgers in six, the game six is on Fernando Valenzuela's what would have been his birthday.
Man.
So what a way to go.
Well, I hope they pull out the win. That would be pretty historic and a nice hat tip. Absolutely. You know, so.
Yeah.
Yep. Good stuff.
Quickly, because we'll finish off our little breakdown. What is all-time favorite athlete?
Michael Roth.
Michael Roth.
That's my son.
There you go. Yeah.
Hands down.
Pastor Brian?
I'm not going to be as good of a father and say Aiden Schulze. I'm a Jerry Rice.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Classic.
I mean, the guy is the best athlete of all time over all sports, right, in my opinion.
So when I was a kid, I had everything Will Clark.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I had all of his cards, rookie card, everything. Yeah, I probably still do have it in my garage.
There you go.
So it's for sale.
And so I would say either
pay for my kids' college.
There you go.
You know,
Magic or Kobe, because that mentality, man, it just kind of.
Magic's the man.
Yeah, we can't get into the Kobe Jordan debate,
Who's the greatest?
Right.
LeBron.
Yeah. No. Also, this is what I say. Because I was a Laker fan in the '90s, I couldn't really appreciate Jordan's greatness because I was just a hater.
Yeah.
Because I was a Magic guy. Yeah. I was a Lakers guy. But now, second time around, I was like, oh, I don't want to miss it with LeBron. So you got
your Bronny jersey?
So I don't. On that note.
King James.
We all know that he wouldn't be on the team if it wasn't for Dad. But we'll just move on with that.
Shots fired.
Man.
Hopefully you're still listening. Let's get into this more spiritual.
Sorry.
If the women's stuff didn't offend them, we're going to get them by the end of this little breakdown. Yeah.
You know, this topic is supposed to be the lighthearted part of the show.
No, man, it's probably people hating us right now. I'm not listening to them ever again.
Sports is good. Sports, it's fun. Anyways, we are not here to talk about sports. We are here to talk about part number three and probably the last part of the series.
Yeah, actually, it is, yeah, because, I let the verses, the scriptures are telling me what they're speaking, right? You want the scriptures to speak. And so that's why when we were talking a couple weeks ago, I said, I don't know if there's a number three in there. And as I read the scripture, I said, oh, there's definitely a number three in here.
Yeah.
So the scriptures that we're coming to up next are talking about circumcision of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of the inner man and that sort of a thing. So we're gonna switch into a new series. This wraps it up. It almost seems like a sour note to wrap up a series on the hypocrisy. But I mean, it is absolutely necessary for us with the attitudes and the actions, because that's been kind of the emphasis of the series anyways, is that do they line up? You can have the right attitude and do the wrong thing, or you can have the wrong attitude and look like you're right on the outside, which hypocrisy, right? Yeah.
Well, even the stories you were telling us, the reason why it's an important topic is because it's where we live. It's we as believers, we love God, and because so, we love people. And the challenge we can have with people is this attitude of hypocrisy. Like you said, we meet people, we want to share our faith, we want to be good coworkers on our job, we want to be even good parents, and they're constantly faced with this idea of hypocrisy and living up to or being, practicing what we preach is kind of one of the points.
I think one of the things that, I mean, you started it off this, like the whole do as I say, not as I do, right? And how it even starts in the home. And I think that's, you know, I've always been challenged with the fact, felt like God was always challenging me, because we're setting our kids up in the home or our families up a lot of the times when we do as I say, not as I do, because we're not saying that it's bad. We're saying it's bad at a certain age, right? You're too young to watch this show, this movie, this, right? You're too young to drink this. But so we're setting a standard and saying, hey, when you turn 21, hey, when you turn 18, hey, when you turn, and we're paving the way and not realizing what we're doing, setting our children up and our families up for to enter into something that we don't ultimately want them to enter into.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely an important topic. And I, you know, as Christians, being the light, and it starts in the home.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree. And I think, you know, growing up and hearing my parents' stories and hearing what hypocrisy did to them.
Yeah.
And to see the way that it pushed them away from, healthy living, you know, then threw them into drug culture, drug life. Obviously, it was the 60s and the 70s. And so there was a lot of other factors going on. And everybody has their own walk, but I wonder how much greater of a life my parents would have had if there wouldn't have been that hypocrisy in the home that said, do as I say and not as I do, right? And you're exactly right. When you're 18, you can cuss. When you're 18, you can, you know, beat your family and all the things that my parents endured, you know, and even just the going to church on Sunday, but then, you know, Monday through Saturday, being a totally different person. You know, kids see those things, and they don't do as we say. They become who we are because they're seeing life modeled in front of them. You know, they're sponges. They're absorbing all information and knowledge, and they're creating their personality. I think psychologists say it's about like 5 years old.
Yeah,
that they're actually formed their personality and their character in many ways, and you know, without the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, it's hard to change.
Yeah,
you know, they're already setting patterns, and that's why we see a lot of the problems that we see is because of that hypocrisy that says, "Well, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm going to live my own way."
I think you mentioned it. Hypocrisy can be such a mirror.
Yeah.
Right. And especially our children, like and what we're modeling, like, why are you yelling at your sister? I turn around. Running to step on a Lego, I told you to push it. Like, oh, and then you find yourself screaming at the top of your lungs. Like, oh, you're. It's been modeled. It's been shown
for sure.
And I've obviously said other things, but I find myself doing these things. And again, this, I feel like because of how we're constantly compensating, it just puts us in a hole as believers, trying to overcome. Sorry for what your priest said to you. Sorry for what this preacher or this leader who said they were falling, like we're constantly having to kind of and I would imagine that there is, you know, there's things we can do in our own lives to walk away from that, but any thoughts on even just when we're sharing our faith or talking to others who have some of these hurts or have some of these challenges where you don't feel like you're constantly just having to apologize but still recognizing their challenges?
You know, I've encountered people throughout my ministry. You know, I've been pastoring here at The Rock for over 20 years, been the senior pastor. October marks 9 years as a senior pastor.
Wow. 9 years.
Yeah, 9 years.
That has gone
fast.
Fast.
Super fast. But yeah, I mean, you encounter people that have, you know, experiences in the past with faith leaders, and whether that be a small group leader, a pastor, a youth leader, you know, there's different levels, obviously. And, you know, the biggest thing for me is not to apologize. The biggest thing for me is to love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the Bible says to let love be without hypocrisy. And I think many times, you know, I can't fix what they did. And even if I apologize, it doesn't heal the hurt.
Yeah.
What I can do, though, is, again, model what real love from a faith leader looks like and bring real support, bring real encouragement. You know, I think that's why avenues like Breaking Free are so important.
Yeah.
We've had people... you know, the last video for Breaking Free was a couple that had deep hurt. I mean, they were invested in their church, helping out in forms of leadership, and were completely hurt and betrayed and just went through a rough spell. They came actually back to The Rock because they were here with us for a long time before they went to that church and helped them plant and helped them build and all that kind of stuff. And so when they came back limping and hurting. And you know, I didn't apologize for what their pastor did. I mean, I'm sorry that it happened.
Yeah.
But really, all I did was just, hey, you're back. Welcome back. Mm-hmm. Love you. You know, we're here for you. And, you know, listen to their story. And you know, they went through Breaking Free and were able to you know, get that encouragement, that help that they needed to process what was going on. And I think that sincere love and that sincere support will bring people back to that place of healing, because God is not a hypocrite, right? Yeah. Man's going to let us down, but God will never let us down. And that's where we're trying. We're growing at this. Have I done everything right? No. Have I been a hypocrite? Yes. You know, it's like, let's just be real, you know. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone, right?
Yeah.
We're all battling in an area where we're trying to line up our practice with our profession, right? I profess to be a Christian. I profess to be against sin and all these things. And yet in my practice, I find...
Right.
And that's where in Romans, you know, definitely in the later chapters, when we get into chapter 7, especially, the very thing I want to do is the thing that I don't do, and the things that you know, it's just that wrestling with the sin nature, the spirit and the flesh fighting against one another. And that's where love overcomes all those things, you know.
You know, Pastor Dent, one of the, as you were saying this, I think also looking at retrospect, the responsibility that we carry as the body of Christ and not putting so much stock into a man as well. And I think because even, you know, we get these deep hurts because we elevate so much and set ourselves up for failure because we put the expectation on Pastor Dan as a man who will never sin and a man who will never fall short.
Right.
And the reality is, like you just said, have I ever been a hypocrite? Of course. Right.
Yeah.
I think when we understand, do we do it intentionally or do we understand that there's a sin nature, right? The intent is to never live as a hypocrite. And I think that's, it's important to identify that, because what we don't want to do is make people feel like, okay, so you fell short, so there's no hope.
Right.
Right. But understand the goal, right, is to continue to grow, continue to seek God, to continue to get yourself in a place where never intending to be a hypocrite, refining ourselves through life, right, and understanding through the Word of God and the application of the Word of God to get ourselves into a place where we grow in these things. Mm. But understand that if we can't allow, if God is the only one who is perfect, right, yeah, and he's the only one who's not the hypocrite, then we can't walk away from church because Pastor Dan did something to offend me or Pastor Antonio did something to offend me, you know? And so just, do you have any thoughts on how you would try to encourage people to, you know, obviously we understand that the leadership of a church holds great responsibility.
Yeah.
Right. And the Word of God says you are double judged,
man,
for the things that you teach. Right. Right. And the way that you express yourself, but also the way that people should look, right, that they seek first the kingdom, right? They seek after Jesus. You come to church and what you're putting your emphasis on or your weights on,
right,
and not all dependent on Pastor Dan to live a life that is perfect.
Well, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
In other words, if I don't follow Christ, don't follow.
Yeah.
Right? We don't put our stock in man. You know, some trust in chariots, we'll trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Yeah.
There's a different emphasis of the believer's life that we're not looking to man, we're looking to God. Mm-hmm. Now, we respect and we honor, we pray and we love, but we understand that all men are sinful, that all men are flawed in the flesh, that we're going to be wrestling against these things. Some do a better job than others. You know, like you said, are we intentional about it? Sometimes, yeah, we enter into sin willfully because we do the wrong thing. We make the wrong choice. We rebel against God's commands. Sometimes we do it unintentionally. Like you said, you know, there's a trigger. I stepped on a Lego or I hit my hammer on my thumb while I was pounding something. All of a sudden those words come out and we sin.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I love what the psalmist said when he said, forgive me of my hidden faults and keep me from willful or presumptuous sins as well.
Yeah.
Because then I'll be blameless. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we understand we all stumble in many things. There's things that we're going to wrestle with. The battle is not to look religious and veil, you know, the sin that's going on and lurking behind the scenes with a good picture on the outside. That's the play actor.
Right.
That's the mask that we put on and that we wear. And, you know, we saw the dangers of that in the message this weekend. We saw as well how to overcome that, and we can overcome it by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So you kind of, the message had a couple of parts, right?
Yeah.
The overcoming.
Yes.
And then first you led with a few dangers.
The dangers, yeah.
That we can find ourselves with hypocrisy, and then how to overcome. Would you say, was it a life of hypocrisy or finding ourselves being a hypocrite or stumbling blocks that would be? But one of the things that I had a question on was one of the dangers that you had expressed.
Mm-hmm.
And as it pertains, I wrote it down. I don't remember, being responsible for leading people astray.
Yes.
And so right away, I'm like, that's absolutely dangerous because like we started off talking, if we are hypocrites, especially as leaders, you can lead people with you like, well, they're doing it, I can do it. Even though they're saying this, they're doing that, it must be okay. And oftentimes we're looking for examples or modeling of how this is done. And so a question I have goes on the other side, because I think of people who are, I don't know whether they've been believers for a long time or they are new to faith, but now I don't want to be a hypocrite. And so where is the line that they maybe would feel like, or where should our line of responsibility for what we can do in our freedoms as believers, right? Mm-hmm. We have freedoms of believers. We're not under the law. There are certain things that are not sin, but maybe could lead people astray in that, well, whether it maybe be music, right? There are, you know, some people like country music or things that maybe in and of themselves are not. One of the things with music, I think about it this way. Someone said this, is like, oh, that's true. Like, if it's not spiritual, it's secular.
Yes. Right?
So Happy Birthday is technically a secular song.
Mm.
And so
we sing that in Christian homes.
Yeah. And there's a reason why I don't like that worldly. Song. It's worldly. It makes perfect sense to me now, Pastor.
That's why we sing You're a Special Person. Right, yeah. So, yeah.
So in other words, why I bring it up is because in and of itself, some of these songs are not demonic, or they're not taking you down bad avenues. And now that line can get really muddied, but for some people in their liberties, they can listen to some oldies or some songs that aren't going to offend them. Where to some, though, I mean, they've burned all their records. They have a conviction of, like, I'm not listening to anything that is not on Christian radio, or that is not absolutely a gospel music or a gospel track or record. So the not leading people astray, where is the line of responsibility that believers have in terms of our weight of not leading someone astray?
Well, you know, we already brought up wisdom and maturity when it comes to children, right?
Yeah.
And I think with believers too, we need to understand that everyone that we're around is at some level of wisdom and maturity in their walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. New believers, many times, like you mentioned, even myself when I was really getting on fire for the Lord and was growing in the things of God, I mean, I broke all my secular CDs, I burned all my comic books, all that kind of stuff. Now, were there songs in those secular CDs that I could listen to with a clear conscience and without sin? Absolutely. Right. You know, I was going extreme because I knew that I was going to follow God in an extreme manner. And there are people that we will encounter in our church or in life that are on that journey, and they're in that extreme mode.
Yeah.
And so I think wisdom says, hey, you know, just like a baby, right? We don't feed baby a steak. Right, we might start with milk, then we'll move over to, okay, well, they need some food, but they need it ground up, right? Or blended or whatever it is, and we'll feed it to them as applesauce or whatever that we make for them. Then eventually we'll start to introduce foods that they can handle, you know. Remember my kids, they had these little stars that they had that would dissolve in their mouth, you know, the little yogurt things, the circles and all that. And so we would give them that to start, and then eventually you build up to those things that are more solid because they're able to handle it in their body. And I think for the life of the believer, where's the line? I think that's where, hey, what is the wisdom? What is the maturity level of this person?
Yeah.
Man, right now, they're going gangbusters for God, and so they're saying no secular music whatsoever. So when I'm around them,
right
I'm not going to play secular music around them, you know, some smooth jazz or, whatever, country, any of those things, because they're going to be, because they understand that they're even in the jazz world, even in the country world, even in, whatever top 40 or whatever it is, that there are songs that aren't godly and that a believer should not be listening to. Yeah. You know, why would you put that into your ear gate and allow those things to roll around in your spirit? Well, I just listen to the beats. Don't lie. Come on, man. Even if you are listening to the beats, those things have a way of working their way in to where all of a sudden you're singing about some girls behind or, whatever it is.
You know, it's interesting. I remember when Aiden was real little and we liked country music. I always liked country music, and it got to the point where I had to stop listening to it because my little son at a young age, he's singing Red Solo Cup, right? And it's like... This is not a song, right? And in your mind, you don't think anything about it. But then now here, my son is singing this song. And it's like, this isn't a song he should be singing. This isn't something that he should be joyful about. And, you know, I think that's the responsibility. And even realizing, well, I shouldn't be listening to this song, you know. But you become accustomed. And I think that's the hard part is in some areas there are liberties. But when you let your guard down, you have to be very careful about what comes on next. Right. Yeah. Because there are certain songs, you know, we can all think of some oldie songs that really have no meaning. Right. And then we can think of the oldie songs that have all the hidden meanings.
Yeah.
You know, all of the drugs and all of the alcohol and all of the sex and those types of things. And when we're allowing those things in, you know, being responsible, I think, you know, for the others around, but then also for our own selves, because, you know, I mean, we go back to what Pastor Jeff Osborne talked about in the men's breakfast, like the standard is the standard. What standard do we allow that eventually affects our children and the people that we love and the reach that we have, you know?
And we want to be careful not to say, hey, guys, because you're a baby Christian, you can't do these. Once you become mature like me, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Because that's not the line. That's not what we're saying either.
Right. You know, Jesus, when he was speaking to the disciples, he said, to them at one point, I haven't shared everything with you because you can't handle it yet.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's the thing about hypocrisy. If you're revealing the truth, if you're not veiling anything, mm-hmm. if you let someone know, you know, right. like, hey, you're in a position in your maturity in Christ where you're not able to handle these things. You just keep going where you're at, right. you know, yeah. keep grinding, keep growing with the things of God. And that's not to say that the superior, mature Christian right. can handle secular music.
Right.
It's just where someone's at right, in their life right. to where my freedom in Christ, yeah. I can listen to a secular song yeah. as long as I know, yeah. like you said, that there's not veiled meaning or things like that. Right. Sometimes some of those old love songs, yeah. my 14-year-old listens to Crooners and Swooners, man. He's listening to old Blue Eyes and yeah. Dean Martin.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
and I'm like, you go, boy, you know? And so there's nothing wrong with that. Right. You know, in his walk with God, he's mature enough to listen to those things. And he's not, I mean, I thank God he's not listening like, you know, some gangster rap like his mom used to. So, because we tried listening to some of our old stuff, and I'm just like, honey, turn that off, you know? Even my old stuff, man. Yeah, goodness sakes, man. We tried listening to some songs, and I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
That was that tanked.
I definitely had to get rid of my old playlist.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I know hypocrisy is more than just music or even, well, I mean, television and movies, things like that.
Yeah.
But just in our everyday life and how we're conducting, again, as for the edification for the listeners and viewers and really for all of us, why I thought it was such a great word, Pastor Dan, is because going back to the attitudes, right? If our attitude doesn't adjust towards living truthfully and yes. uprightly, then I will find myself in these actions where I'm living as a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone desires that, because not only does it hinder our personal walk with God, it hinders our ability to share our faith and evangelize, but it our standing with Christ. We are not where we want to. I don't think any of us desire to be far from Him. We want to be close to Him. But we are going to find ourselves in our action, where our actions are putting us far from Him. Not because He's pushing us away, but rather we're finding ourselves. It just gets easier to, I listened to this song, and now I'm going to go into this song where it does have this. Or, you know, it's that slippery slope. In my liberty, I can have one beer. And then one beer turns back where you walked away from not drinking for many years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now you got mature in Christ. Now I can have a beer again. And then I go back now down the other way.
Well, and I think one thing that comes to mind when I hear, like, even the attitudes and the actions, right? So then what is the attitude behind your action? When there are certain hills sometimes that we tend to want to die on because it's my freedom, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't handle it, that's between you and God.
Right.
But what's our attitude behind wanting to listen to a certain song or behind wanting to have a certain drink? What is it that's causing us to get to a place where somebody else is struggling and we're not willing to forego something for the salvation and the betterment of somebody else. And I think those are the questions that you ask. And that's why I think it's so cool that we go into this attitude and actions and you get to the hypocrisy, because usually there's an attitude that's causing the action of hypocrisy. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what is that? And challenging yourself on, why is this a hill that I want to die on? Why is this a freedom that I feel like I need to embrace so much at somebody else's expense?
Well, can I throw this thought in here? You know, we talk a lot about needing to be kingdom people and kingdom culture. Some things are kingdom culture.
Right.
And kingdom culture even supersedes American or Western culture, where we love our liberties and we love our freedoms. And it's just kind of what we know, right? Where we know what we can have. If we want it, we can go have it because it's our right and those kind of mindsets. But kingdom culture supersedes that. And those things are uncomfortable. To think that we couldn't do something, while it is very kingdom minded, it's very not American minded.
Yes.
You know, it's not American to think I can't go do something. But yet we are kingdom first.
Well, the kingdom word for that is meekness, and it's not weakness. A lot of times people say they're meek, and it's really sad that nothing really rhymes with child except for mild. Right. You know what I mean? So like when they talk about Jesus and they're like, oh, he was meek and mild, the Christ child. And it's like everybody remembers that from the Christmas songs and stuff, you know? And so when they think about Jesus, they think, you know, oh, he's not the bold, he's not the hot, he's... Right. He's the mild salsa, you know, that no one wants. There's no flavor. There's no spice.
Yeah.
But that's not Jesus. Obviously, Jesus could have called legions of angels. Right. He could have used his power. I mean, he says a word and a whole, you know, group of soldiers just draws back and falls to the ground. He went to the cross. He endured the cross. That's not weak.
Right.
I mean, if anything, he's the man's man. The guy was a carpenter, you know, which really was an artisan. I mean, Jesus, in order to do what he did to work with his father in the family business, probably had to be very strong.
Yeah.
Probably had to lift big rocks and was building things. I mean, look at a construction worker's back and arms and hands and all that.
Yeah.
They're very strong,
you
know? And so Jesus would have been that guy. He was an average Jewish man. He wouldn't have been, you know, the most handsome of the bunch or any of that kind of stuff. The Bible says that there was nothing to his form or his appearance that would draw us to him, right? He was an average Jewish man, but he was still a carpenter and probably would have been very strong physically.
Yeah.
As well, we understand how strong he was mentally, you know, to come up against all of the questioning and all the things that came at him. And then the anguish of the cross that he went through, not just the physical side, the spiritual side. He was very strong. Now, when a Christian realizes the freedoms that they have and yet chooses to submit themselves to the authority and the power of the kingdom of God, that's not weakness. That's meekness. It's strength under control.
That's good.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a muscle car, if you will. You know, I remember when I used to change oil for, you know, Walmart Tire and Lube Express Center in Myrtle Valley over there. I remember I used to love when I'd see different cars coming in and love to drive different cars. And so that was kind of like a fun job for, you know, 20-something at the time. And I remember that a guy came in with an old Camaro, probably like 69 or something like that, Camaro. I mean, you just heard the thing driving up from down the street because the roar of the engine.
Yeah.
He backed it in. I mean, the guy got out without a shirt on. He was chiseled and ripped, shaved head, threw a white T-shirt on and went inside. And sure enough, they brought out the keys to me and were like, bring this car. Now, I had the fear of God in me because if I scratch this guy's car, he's come at, you know, take his shirt off and beat the tar out of me, you know. But I was excited to drive the car. And I remember the car wanted to get up and run. Like just the engine was I had to like lay down on the brake just to get it to stop lurching forward when I started it up and put it into drive, you know.
Those are fun cars to drive.
Very fun. So I with fear and trembling brought it into the bay and changed the oil on it. But man, when I got out of the bay and when I had to go back and park it again, I just said, I'm gonna tap the gas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm gonna and I tapped the gas and that thing the front of that car just lifted up and you heard it roar, you know, like that. So I quickly put the brakes on because I didn't have that long in the parking lot to go, you know. And then I backed it into where the guy had it because I wanted to make sure I left it where he wanted it, you know, just to make sure he wasn't mad at me, you know.
Take pictures. And
oh, man. If I'd have had a camera phone at the time, I would have done that. That was before camera phones, you know. Take a photograph and go to the Walmart Express photo. Leave it there. This is how I found it. This is how I left it. But no, I mean, so I think about meekness, right? That engine had the power to do 0 to 60 in probably, you know, 5 seconds or something like that. I mean, it was a muscle car. And yet it was submitted to the driver.
Right.
And I think that's for us too, with our freedoms and with what we could be doing, you know. And even, you know, a lot of times hypocrisy says, I deserve this.
Yes.
I deserve a drink. I deserve to be able to cuss. You know, I got so much frustration. I deserve to look at pornography because I'm just frustrated sexually or whatever it is, you know. I deserve this. But then on the exterior, there's this religious, well, I'm good. I'm good with God. I've got the freedom in Christ to do, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's the attitudes and these actions are inconsistent and there's hypocrisy. But meekness says, I'm going to submit my mind frame. I don't deserve anything. I deserve hell.
Yeah, that's good.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to submit myself and the strength that I could have, the freedoms that I could have in Christ to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, and even to my weak brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. That's what the Apostle Paul said. If my eating meat causes someone to stumble, I'll never eat meat again.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I don't want to ask where the line is.
Yeah.
You know, because, man, there might be something.
I'm just glad my friends don't have a problem with eating meat. Just
saying. Yeah, really.
Right. No, it's true. And I think those are some of those topics that, like you said, who knows, you know, he set the bar.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you look at Pastor Antonio, you and I talked yesterday about Peter, right? Jesus tells Peter, hey, time's drawing near. Go get yourself some swords.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I got swords. Okay, good. right? Then he comes out, starts wielding it, when and it's like, hey, put that down. You live by the sword. Like, are you willing to lay down your liberty?
Right.
Something that I actually gave you permission to go by, actually encouraged you to go get, right? But are you willing to lay it down? You look at Paul when he was in prison, singing praises to God, his chains fall off.
Yeah.
He had the ability to flee and had, you know, I mean, who wouldn't think that that was
this
not
is
the
will
of God,
God.
Right? But he stayed for, and I think when you're talking about lying, now you look at Peter, when Peter was set free from prison, right, and let out. At what point do we say, you know, you have to determine with God what he is speaking to you, what he's challenging you with, and keeping that open line of communication, always with God, always with humility, always with meekness. And I love that because it's through that. There's always going to be an opportunity to just take that car out in the parking lot, open it up.
Go for it.
Flip it back around.
Could have took it on the street.
Yeah.
Nobody the wiser, right? But then what happens when you get in that accident?
Yeah.
Or something, or the guy hears it, like, oh, I know that sound.
Yeah.
Right? That's my exhaust.
He's coming for you.
He's coming for you.
He's coming.
Yeah. So I just think, you know, I think it's good. Like, we draw these lines. I think always keeping that open line of communication to God. And God, what is it that you're asking me to do in this season with what's being presented in front of me? Because we know what the Word of God says. And even, I have a right to do this. I deserve this. I've worked hard for this, right? You see people in sobriety. I mean, I come from sobriety, right?
Yeah.
So, well, I haven't had anything in so long. I've earned this.
Wow.
But you even see, like, even in the world of sobriety, in Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous, when I used to go, you would see people, they would have they would find themselves 20 years sobriety, have a drink because they deserved it and they've earned it. Right. But the person that they're mentoring that's got six months in their chip, they fall.
Wow.
Why? Because you feel like you deserve. But then now this person goes back to beating their wife or losing their home or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And the weights that carry, and how much more when it's a cost of eternal life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, in closing, guys, I think, you know, it was so well wound up because it wasn't just this, like, you know, gloom, like, well, don't be a hypocrite. You know, there's the what we can do to glorify. And I loved your last point was live to glorify God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in living to glorify God, we will find ourselves avoiding being a hypocrite, avoiding ourselves in hypocritical positions. But like you said at the top, hey, something we're all struggling with.
Yeah.
We don't desire to be this, but as we pursue glorifying Jesus in all that we do, we will find ourselves back in alignment, back in a place where we are living as we should. And not in this dichotomy of, well, sometimes and sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, overall, I was very encouraged by the message. I know we've heard some great feedback. You always get good feedback. Any closing thoughts or preview of maybe our next news? Are we doing a series or another?
Yeah, it'll be a series. I'm not sure, again, how long it'll be. It's funny. Like, the past, I think, three series, I've gone three each, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny. So maybe we'll have a three-part series, you know. But but no, we're gonna talk about circumcision of the heart.
Okay.
And you know, I think it's interesting that we were talking about hypocrisy and some of these attitudes, because the very next statement, he starts talking about circumcision, which is a cutting away of something that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
And so there's some attitudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some actions that need to be cut away from our life so that we can be the true Jew.
Yeah.
Right? The not one of circumcision of the flesh, but one of circumcision of the heart. And that's what God desires for us.
Amen.
So yeah, I think there's some exciting things ahead of us, and definitely looking forward to what God brings out in those things. So yeah, come stay tuned with us, be with us in church, come join us in person, and listen to podcasts online.
Yeah, again, we always ask, share, like, subscribe, comment, ask questions. We'd love to. I haven't got any new questions, but we'd love to address those. I mean, we come up with some, but maybe, you know, there's some that you might have. Pastor Brian, any closing thoughts?
No, I, you know, this has been, I mean, when you said you were going back into Romans, this has been fun. And I've really enjoyed even the way that you've been doing a lot of these. It's almost like the do's and don'ts we talked about, right? These are the dangers, but then here's what you have the ability to overcome, right? And how you deal with it. And I just think it's been really encouraging, and I'm excited to get into the circumcision of the flesh. And this is, I appreciate being invited to come into today and partake of the, the sports conversation.
always a good time. So if you stay tuned all the way to this point, we're glad you did.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for not getting offended.
Yeah.
Hanging with us.
God bless you guys. Love you. We'll see you soon.